This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome in. And this morning, we're going to be talking lawns and gardens, and we're going to be talking about how to do things better. We're going to talk about agriculture, a little bit of everything. Home economist Pat Whitaker is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Pat, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
You brought a friend with you.
I did, but do you like me to introduce her now?
Absolutely.
All right.
I believe her. Let me think. I have this vision. Lou Knave. Is that my right so far?
Oh, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, I feel like I'm ready now.
Yes, yes. Okay. You remind me of Johnny Carson waving his
envelope. Should I go one step farther and try to guess what she does? This is name my, or guess my line, whatever that show was.
You can?
I have this vision. Let me see. Lou Knave. executive director. Let me think a little harder. Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee.
Amazing.
Wait, am I right?
Yes, yes.
Now, what was your name? Well, Lou, good morning to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
What is the Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee?
It's a nonprofit organization that represents all of animal agriculture in Tennessee to serve as a proactive, positive voice of our agriculture producers.
Oh, neat. Now, is there a, here in Rutherford County, used to be dairy industry was big, and I think that has dropped dramatically. What type of animal farming is big in Rutherford County?
Mostly beef cattle, though we do have quite a few hog producers in this area. There is still some dairy. And there are some poultry operations.
Ah, okay. Is one growing? Does one seem to be growing more than the others? Or
Beef cattle would probably maintain its level at the top as far as the number of producers, simply because it doesn't take as much day-to-day ongoing operation activities as the dairy industry does or hog production.
Now, Pat, being with the Agricultural Extension Service, which also has under its wings the 4-H Club, you see all sorts of activities in the agricultural area.
Yes, exactly. And our youth are involved with these animals in their project work. And so there are so many areas here that Lou has touched on in her lifetime that it makes her really the perfect person for this new position and new coalition that has been formed. Lou grew up in Cannon County, was a MTSU animal science major. She was a 4-H'er. Her children were in 4-H. She's worked for Pick Tennessee Products, so she is, and she lives on a 500-acre farm and raises animals herself. Mm-hmm. So she's just the perfect person, I think, to talk to us today about the Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee and their purpose and the things that the objectives that they're trying to reach with people that deal with animals.
Now, you hear about animals being abused, and farm animals, horses in particular, not getting enough food and what have you. Is this one of the areas that you're working on?
Yes, that's a very central area. You know, when we have problems with neglect and abuse of small animals, you don't normally have a shelter or a humane society that can step in. But there is no organization to take livestock. Now, for the most part, those animals do have a value and they can be sold if they're cattle or sheep or goats or hogs. But horses have a major problem because the value of horses has greatly decreased in the last few years. And many people have managed to become horse owners without the knowledge and the experience necessary to be efficient producers. And when we have situations such as we did earlier this year with the drought and the temperature, a lot of people just did not have the resources to take care of animals. And we did have a large number of horses that were under condition and not properly cared for.
Now, there are a lot of people, especially young people, who love horses, who love to ride horses, who want to learn more about horses, taking care of them and things of that sort, but they don't have a farm or a place to keep them. Is there some way that your group and 4-H work together to help these people learn more about horses?
The 4-H program is phenomenal as far as educating our youth. And yes, you can be involved in the horse project without owning a horse. Mm-hmm. So we encourage youth from all over the country, go to your local 4-H office, get involved. The Farm Animal Care Coalition works very closely with our University of Tennessee Extension program. We're going to be working on some programs for additional education for our youth to make sure that all children that are showing, whether it's cattle or hogs or chickens or horses, have the proper training to make sure that they are good stewards of our animals.
Now, I think one of the things with young people getting involved with animals is learning the responsibility. This is not just a one day or once in a while opportunity to do something. It's a responsibility that's with you as long as that animal is alive. Is that difficult to teach to kids who want something done right now? I mean, we're in an instant society these days.
That can be a problem. Farm children who have grown up knowing that each and every day begins with feeding their animals and ends with feeding their animals. Mm-hmm. But those children that get their first pet when they're in middle school don't have that responsibility built in. And so through our extension program, we work with those students to understand that this is a daily responsibility. And if you're not committed to that daily responsibility, you probably don't need to be an owner of livestock.
Now, when you're in 4-H and kids say, oh, I love horses, but they've never had one. I love to ride them, and they do that once every year maybe. Once they're actually involved in taking care of it, does that love seem to fade a little bit?
Oh, I don't think so. Most of our students find a deeper affection for it. And that's what we work through with the Farm Animal Care Coalition. We work with farmers and producers across the state who are committed to raising animals. It's not a fly-by-night, jump in, jump out. And so we're committed to raising animals for the long term, and we want to develop the next generation of students and young people who are committed the same way.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pat, whenever I think about you, I think of canning and Tai Chi. I don't know what it is. But while we're talking about animals, especially beef cattle, in addition to canning, do you have programs on processing animals for food?
Not exactly. We certainly have agents in our office who offer programs related to beef cattle and their care and those kinds of things. I do get a lot of questions from people from me wishing that I would teach a canning class on meat, and I haven't done that yet.
Can you do that?
You can. You certainly can.
I've never thought about it.
Yes, you can. You can pressure can. You know, that's what our grandparents did. That's how they preserved it. They either cured the hams in the smokehouse or they canned their meat because they didn't have freezers or mm-hmm. that kind of thing in the early days. So there's certainly things like that that can be done in food preservation, but I have not taught that yet.
So obviously there's an interest in it.
Oh, there is. There's an increasing interest in all areas of freezing, drying, and canning.
Now, what about wild game? That seems to be pretty big these days.
Yes, it is.
Especially with the deer. We have
yes.
a good population of deer.
Yes.
Abundance of
yes.
turkeys. And doing the canning and preserving of those animals, is that the same procedure, or is it something different?
Well, people are really into with their deer meat, making jerky out of it, and mm-hmm. so they get into the drying process, and of course, you know, with other fowl, the principles are pretty much the same in food safe food preservation for those animals.
Now, if you take a canning class for vegetables, can you use that same procedure for animals?
Well, any low acid food, which meat comes into that category, has to be pressure canned.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the major things we teach in our classes, is to try to get people to learn the difference in the water bath canning, which is for acid foods such as tomatoes, pickles, jams, and jellies,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to basically everything else, which is a low acid food, and it must be processed under pressure. And some foods just don't have recommended procedures for pressure canning. And so people need to learn what some of those foods are as well. So mm-hmm. I get calls often for people wanting to know if I have a recommendation for that. The National Center for Home Food Preservation is one of those excellent resources that I always recommend people to look up their questions and that they can get answers to.
Will you have some canning classes soon?
We have finished our canning classes for this season, and we'll be starting up again next year in the winter months. We try to start early so people can get all their supplies and equipment together and ready mm-hmm. to can.
Now, if you're still working on the gardens, we're working on cool season. People are getting
yes.
ready for that right now.
Yes, we are. We just had a seasonal eating class this Tuesday at our farmer's market, teaching people how to cook with butternut squash and spaghetti squash. Mm-hmm. I'll have another class on the fourth Tuesday of September, and then we'll have another one on the fourth Tuesday of October. We do this every fourth Tuesday during our farmer's market season, so people can come into the market, take a free class, and learn how to cook some of the foods that are seasonal that month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very popular.
Now, of course, this farmer's market is just extremely popular and getting more popular every day.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. And our educational focus has really enhanced that, because our master gardeners out there are constantly offering classes. There's a master gardener at every farmer's market set up with a table to answer questions. So I think our focus there has been excellent this year. And our partnership with MTSU has been very good, too, in that we can now, through a grant, offer EBT and credit and debit for people who would like to come and purchase at the market.
And we underline that tomorrow is another farmer's market.
Exactly. Friday. Tuesdays and Fridays, exactly.
7 a.m. until noon.
Yes.
And that's over at the Lane Agri Park. Easy to find, and you need to know where that is anyway, because all sorts of activities going on over there. Now, Lou, tell us a little about some of the activities that you do. Does your organization have training sessions and information sessions at the Lane Agri Park?
Not at this point. We work very closely with all of the agricultural commodity groups. So when they have programs, whether it's the Tennessee Cattlemen's Association or Tennessee mm-hmm. Pork Producers or the Tennessee Poultry Association, and try to assist them in educating their producers. We also work with our local co-ops and our farm bureaus to try to speak to members about making sure that all of our livestock producers are using best management practices and raising and producing our livestock in the most humane environment possible.
So are some people who are in the agricultural field, are they not quite as knowledgeable as they need to be? I mean, it sounds like you're showing them what they need to already know. It's what it sounds like. I mean, if you're a farmer, I would hate to be a farmer and not know what I was doing.
Oh, most of our farmers are very well educated and prepared. But, you know, there's new technologies that come out. There are mm-hmm. new feeds. There are new regimens to produce our animals as efficiently as possible.
Uh-huh.
And so we just want to always make sure our producers have opportunities to advance themselves, to be better at what they do. Yes, we believe our Tennessee farmers are committed to raising our animals in the most humane manner possible. We also have people that suddenly have a little bit of land and a few animals that did not grow up in the industry. And they may not know who to turn to for that advice.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have gone to school. They may not have taken additional classes. So we like to point them in the right direction, whether it's working with the Extension Service or working with the commodity group of whatever animal they're raising, so they can get that training and be the best producer possible.
Makes sense. Now, for an opportunity to learn more about your organization, what do you have, a website? Or
I do. TNFACCT.com. 10 fact.
Okay. TenFact.com.
Yes.
Okay. And will you be having training sessions or meetings or anything of that sort where people get together? And
well, we're working on that.
Oh,
again,
okay.
We're brand new. The Farm Animal Care Coalition was formed in 2010 and was totally operated by volunteer board members.
Mm-hmm.
I came on in December. And so I've been on just over 8 months, and so I'm the sole employee. I'm in all the staff. But I do enjoy going out. We go to any kind of meetings. I'm working with high school groups, with 4-H groups, any opportunity to work with individuals to share the message of what we're doing, because we need to reach out to the general population who doesn't understand how we're raising our animals anymore. You know, there's less than 2% of our people that are actually producing the food for the entire country. And so people don't know how we raise our cattle and how we process our hogs. And so we need to share that message. We need to be more open and allow people to come onto our farms and share the knowledge that we have.
Makes a lot of sense. Tell you what let's do. Let's check on the traffic and weather. We will be back. And this is the segment where we open up the phone lines. If you have any questions about our topic today, about the Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee, FACT, F-A-C-T, give us a call, 893-1450. Maybe you live on a farm. Maybe you have lived on one all of your life and you love the farm life and want to share a little about that. Call us, 893-1450. And I would bet you, if you have a canning question or a canning comment, Pat Whitaker might just be able to help you with that too. 893-1450. Get on the line quickly. 893-1450. That is our number. We'll be right back.
No safer place in the storm. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11. This is FM 100.5 and 101.9.
Need credit? Discharge bankruptcy? Do you have poor credit? Ford of Murfreesboro can help. Ford has credit experts that will work for you from the start of the sale to the time you drive off the lot. Ford can help better your credit situation. Imagine driving a new car today. It can happen at Ford of Murfreesboro. Visit Ford online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Ford of Murfreesboro at the corner of Northfield Boulevard and Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. We have one incident. It's causing some congestion. Manchester Highway at Elam Road. Not actually an accident. Supposedly it's a medical condition being dealt with. So that is causing some congestion through that area. As you might imagine, we're seeing a good deal of congestion in Murfreesboro. Broad at Memorial. Broad at Church. Also, we're seeing I-24 at 231. Barfield at South Church with lots of congestion for us this morning. Get a $39 introductory massage. Massage Envy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Envy, Cold Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. How about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
This afternoon, we'll see mostly cloudy skies with showers and storms developing. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with our lows in the mid-70s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now, it's 72.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and home of Otis Spunkmeyer hot, delicious cookies.
If anyone should ask you, be sure and tell them you're listening to WGNS Murfreesboro. Good morning.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Kristen Thoburn. The Vanderbilt Commodores are paying tribute to the U.S. champions from the Little League World Series. The team from Goodlettsville will be honored at midfield during tonight's Vanderbilt-South Carolina football game in Nashville. Last week, Goodlettsville became the first Tennessee team to win the U.S. championship at the Little League World Series. They then played for the world title, losing to Japan. AAA predicts nearly 650,000 Tennesseans will be traveling this upcoming Labor Day holiday. Robert Sinclair from AAA says while those numbers are strong, many say they'll be cutting back.
Only a third of those that we surveyed said that they'll be taking a shorter trip or using an alternate means of transportation as a way of saving money in a bad economy.
Those AAA figures represent the largest number of travelers since 2008 and an increase of around 3% from last year. If you're headed out of town, TNOT is trying to make your travels a little less stressful. TRN's Dan Item has more.
The road ahead will be clear of highway construction over the Labor Day weekend across Tennessee. TDOT has ordered that construction stop by noon tomorrow and not resume until 6 a.m. Tuesday.
A preliminary report shows Tennessee homeowners are benefiting from a settlement reached with the nation's top five mortgage servicers. Tennessee and 48 other attorneys general and federal agencies reached the agreement with the servicers in April, following a series of state and federal investigations into improper foreclosures and industry practices.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to
Then what you're
going
to do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Just broke up.
And go past
and
the first three
she's
lights
happy
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
drive
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
and you should be
who
there.
Am I to, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's been 100 years since the great ship Titanic went down, taking over 1,500 souls with her. The U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary encourages the boating public to reflect upon this event and apply the lessons it affords. Recreational boating is fun and safe activity. Be sure everyone on your boat wears their life jacket every time and all the time you're on the water. Preparedness and respect for the water will keep this boating season fun and safe. This message brought to you a public service by the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary and this station.
Police say an elderly woman has died in an accident on an escalator at a Nashville grocery store after a shopping cart fell on top of her. The accident occurred at a Harris Teeter grocery yesterday. The store has an escalator that leads to a parking garage, and it includes a separate ramp designed to carry carts up and down the escalator. Police say the woman who was in her 80s mistakenly put her shopping cart on the escalator and it tumbled down on top of her. I'm Kristen Thoburn, Tennessee Radio Network News.
Receive breaking news, sports scores, traffic, and weather bulletins on your cell phone. Sign up for text alerts at WGNSradio.com.
Today's Lawn and Garden program is brought to you by Five Star Fescue Blend Grass Seed. The phone lines are open. Dial 893-1450. This broken man.
Hey, welcome back. 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. We're talking about canning. We're talking about the agricultural area, farming. And I tell you what, for the next four callers who have a question, next four callers, I will give you this five-star professional-grade fescue grass seed, a five-pound bag of it, absolutely free, just for a call again. What's funny about that? We're going to do some serious grass seeding this morning. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning, Bart. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing fine. I just wanted to call in and tell you what a lucky man you were to have those two wonderful ladies in your office this morning. Well,
they are great, and they are very talented.
They sure are. Just wanted to call in and praise Lou a little bit about what she's doing and the tremendous asset she's been to the agriculture community and all the good things that she's doing to help spread the word about how good agriculture is and how important it is right here in the mid-state.
Well, she really is. Are you in the farming business?
I am. I raise hogs out in the Blackman community.
All righty. Tell us, have you been involved in that? Is that something your family got involved in, or are you the first generation?
No, it's been a little over 200-year process now, so we're about to get the hang of it.
Okay. Now, you don't happen to have a famous hog, do you?
There might be a famous hog around here somewhere.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I thought I recognized the voice.
he's alive and well this morning, doing
okay.
Fine. I had to take a break from feeding Wilbur and just praise Lou a little bit because we are so blessed to have her as a spokeswoman for agriculture and, and all the good things that are happening on farms all across our county. And it's so important that we get that voice heard, and that our consumers understand, you know, what's happening here on our farm today and tomorrow and in the weeks to come.
Very definitely. By the way, we do have a certificate good for a 5-pound bag of five-star fescue for you here at the station if you'd like to have that.
Well, that'd be fantastic. That's the only reason I really called in, was to win a prize this morning.
I've got your phone number on here.
Oh, well, I sure appreciate that.
You have a great day. Thanks
for
calling.
You have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Brandon.
Thanks.
893-1450 is our number. And good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Hi.
Bad, and you?
I'm doing great. You sound good.
Oh, thank you. So do you.
Well, thank you.
It's happening now that we're going to have to go back to the farm like we used to. Everything's getting out of whack. And I used to work on the farm and raise the farm when I first got married, which was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to go back to some of those living there to be much better off, and people won't be as sick like they are now with all of this instant stuff. And I was just calling in. And
what do you remember most about farm life that you really enjoy and really miss now?
Well, with my first husband, when I first married, we did share with farming for somebody, which was Mr. Jones. We took care of the farm, which we just took care of the cotton, the corn, and raised stuff and mixed the cows and all that stuff, and our chickens and stuff and canning stuff and all that stuff, and we didn't have to worry about things like they are today. And so that was good living then.
Very definitely.
And we might going to have to go back to that.
Well, yeah, I think a little of that is good for us. I think it makes us a little more independent.
Right. Okay, just have a blessed day.
Well, now, be sure and come by the station, because I have a certificate good for a 5-pound bag of five-star professional-grade fescue grass seed for you.
Oh, I need a grass seed.
We got it right here for you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for calling. You have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
893-1450, and I have two more certificates to give away if you need some grass seed. 893-1450. Just call in with a question this morning. 893-1450. And you can take this certificate over to Kelton's on the Old Fort Parkway, the Farmers Co-op on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, or Martin's Home and Garden on Northwest Broad, and redeem it for the grass seed. 893-1450 is our phone number, and our guest this morning, Pat Whitaker from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, and Lou Nave, who is the Executive Director of the Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee. And let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Good morning, Bart.
Hi.
I have a question. I heard yesterday that by the year 2050, that pretty much meat would be extinct, as far as, I guess, beef, and I'm not sure about the poultry, but just the way that the farming's going now and the way that everything's pretty much being turned over to housing development, that the farms would be extinct and there'll be no more meat. Is there any truth to that?
No. That would be an effort being pushed forth by those who are vegetarians and maybe even vegans that want you to think that we're not going to be able to produce meat. But yes, we are. Our American farmers are so efficient, and they've reduced their carbon footprint. They've reduced the amount of land needed to raise our cattle and our hogs and our chickens because they are so efficient. So yes, our American farmers will continue to provide you with the most affordable, abundant food supply well into 2050, because we're always looking for new technology and new ways to be more efficient and effective and humane in processing our animals. So, yes, we're going to continue to have those quality food products.
Okay, thank you for calling. By the way, I did not get her name or phone number, so I have no way of identifying her. So we will move on to another line here. Good morning. You're on WGNS. Let me get your first name.
Good morning, Bart.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I recognize...
You recognize me. This is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
I've got a question about farm animals.
Okay.
Well, we count, that's cows, pigs. Do we count horses in there?
Yes, horses are livestock in the state of Tennessee.
Okay, this is what I was wanting to talk about. Years ago, when Miller had won the celebration over at Shelbyville, the next year he was here and he got hurt his back. He fell off a mule, believe it or not, down in Lewisburg where he had a farm. But anyway, he was being treated at Rutherford Hospital, and it happened my wife was treating him in physical therapy. And he gave us two tickets to the celebration, the only time I've ever been, and it's the only time I'll go until things are changed. But anyway, went over there, parked at his Kentucky stable, little place there where he kept his walking horse, and went to that. And I've never seen anything like it. Horses don't walk that way. They have to be abused or something. And I just thought it was awful. I watched it since I was there. But since then, you know, we've seen a film on that. It was on TV, and that guy is barred from life for working with horses. But anyway, what can be done to stop that abuse of the animals?
Well, you know, there's some bad players in all industries, and you saw a video of a bad player. And I think the industry has taken care of that. The law enforcement has indeed filed charges there. That does not mean that everyone in the industry is a bad player. The Tennessee Walking Horse is bred to perform a totally different gait than other breeds, and so they have a natural smooth walk. Now, that is enhanced when they do for the show gates, just like our athletes are enhanced to do different things. They train differently. They prepare differently. So the horse that you see in the show ring is not the same horse you'd probably take out on an all-day horse ride. But Tennessee can be very proud of our Tennessee Walking Horse. It's the only state that has horse named after it, or the first state, actually. I think Missouri now does. But we're very proud of our Tennessee Walking Horse. It contributes a lot to our Tennessee economy, a lot of people involved in it.
There's a lot of money involved. I think that's why it's got to the place where it is.
That's true. And I think the industry is working to clean it up, and they're going to have to be diligent. They can't stop. They cannot let any bad players fall through the cracks. They've got to catch all the bad players and move forward to protect the horse, because it is a fabulous breed of animals.
Yeah, the horse has feelings just like you and I have. Let's take baseball. We had guys hitting home runs. That baseball bat looked like a toothpick. But they cracked down on that, and you don't see that many home runs hit anymore. So they've got to do something with this walking horse business, and I hope they really get serious about it and checking it for whatever they put on their ankles and what all they do to them. That's a terrible thing.
It's an ongoing effort, and I think the industry is working to clean that up, and I certainly hope that they do so that we can all enjoy this wonderful breed of horse.
Yeah, I'd like to enjoy them. I see them out in the fields, and I think they're the most beautiful animals you can ever see. Listen. You have a good day, and I enjoy your program.
Thanks for calling, and come by the station and get that certificate for the 5-star professional grade fescue grass seed. We got a 5-pound bag for you.
Well, I can use that, Barn. Okay. Out here where I live, I can use it. Have a good day, Barn.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Mr. Bart?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. This is your friend from Shiloh.
All right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was out at the farmer's market, Houston. I was talking to, I think that's Miss Lou. And talking about canning tomatoes, but she told me she's all finished for this year.
It was May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll have to catch on next year, I guess. But the farmer's market is a wonderful place, and my husband used to raise hogs. Oh, my goodness, I never forget those days. But now he's down to cows, but you don't have to milk them, so that's good. And I heard you were giving away those seeds, and he buys some every year. So I thought I'd save my little money.
I got you down right here. Five-pound bag.
That sound wonderful. Sound wonderful. I enjoy your radio programs every day, so you already know that.
Well, now, let me ask you, when you did farming, were you over in the Shiloh community?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right up behind our house. I never forget the hogs. Sometimes he'd have up to 100.
Wow.
Yes, he'd sell pigs off, and he'd laugh and say that's the way he sent his children to college.
Well, what did you enjoy most about farming?
Well, it's not too enjoyable when you're raising hogs, so they'll get out on the worst night of the year.
Oh, no.
And you have to chase them and get them back in. But anyway, it was good. It was extra income, which we needed when the children was in school.
Well, that's neat. Well, yes. Thank you for calling, and I've got one of these certificates with your name on it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
You have a great day.
Bye-bye.
893-1450, and that gives our quota away today. I don't have any more for today, but I'll get some more for us, and we'll give them away. 893-1450, that is the number to call, 893-1450. We're talking lawns, gardens, farming. We're talking a little bit of everything, and we have some folks who can interact with you this morning who can help you. Lou Nave, who is the Executive Director of the Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee, and Pat Whitaker, well-known canning expert. What else? Tai Chi. We could do Tai Chi classes on the radio. I'm not sure. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. How are you today?
Oh, doing good. Doing good. I was wondering, one of the ladies there mentioned something about in the canning and some meats weren't real suitable for canning, and I'm just wondering what are some that are not.
No, I just said there were some foods that weren't. I wasn't specific on that. There are just some foods that aren't recommended for canning. For example, the winter squashes are one of those things that there are no recommended recipes for some of the winter squashes because of their density. So there's some foods that just aren't recommended for the home pressure canning process is what I was referring to.
Oh, okay. So I guess pretty much all meats can be canned then?
There's a recipe out there that's approved for so many of our meats. So many people can their pork products. They can chicken. They can beef. They can fish. There are just many of those recipes that are out there. But we always recommend that you use one that has been tested through the University of Georgia, which is our National Center for Home Food Preservation, or the University of Tennessee, or many of the land-grant universities do research on home food canning, as well as Ball Food Preserving. They're a very reliable website and have a good cookbook out for canning. But generally, a recipe that's been handed down for four generations in your family, often I would be leery of unless you take it and compare it to one that has been researched and tested.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
You can also get recipes, not on canning, but you can get beef recipes from the Tennessee Beef Council, and maybe you could get recipes on pork from the Tennessee pork producers. So there's also opportunities to get other recipes for using meats, but I'm not sure about the canning situation.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. You have a great day. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Hello.
Hi.
I want to ask her about, I raise tomatoes every year, and I had some this year, and mm-hmm. each one of them just had one tomato on there.
Ooh. What would cause that, Pat? Just
wow.
One tomato had
one tomato per plant?
Yeah. One tomato for a plant.
Tell us a little bit about your growing process. Tell us a little bit about it. How did you grow that plant?
Out the side of my house.
And are they in pretty much full sun most of the day? Do they get enough light?
Well, they get all the evening sun.
Okay. Did you provide some type of fertilizer for the plant?
I put fertilizer
some
around.
Miracle-Gro or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
May have been just dry.
Well, we had that awful drought at the beginning of the summer, and I think that really inhibited the production of a lot of our fruits and vegetables until the season got a little wetter and came on a little bit stronger. So I'm trying to think here if there are some other things that could have had something to do with that. Other than the fact that you're not just getting enough water and enough sun, you know, the basic things.
I water them about every other day.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like that.
Sounds like you're doing the right things. We may have to check a little further on that for you and see what else we can do. What variety did you have? Do you know the name?
I've forgotten, huh?
Okay.
You know, what you might want to do also, and this is a good time to do that, is to take a sample of your soil and see if you need any nutrients or if you have too much of one thing or another. And they can tell you at the Agricultural Extension Service what you need to do with your soil all through the year. And that'll be the best investment, I guarantee, that you've ever made on that. What is it, $6?
I think it's $7
$7,
for
okay.
a soil sample, yes. Mm-hmm. And that is an excellent suggestion to see if your soil is very deficient in something that's reducing your production.
Yeah. No sense in adding something and spending money when you don't need to.
Right.
Good luck to you on that, and there's always another season.
Well,
okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
One of the things I heard people comment on this year is when the tomatoes started coming on during the drought, that things like squirrels that had never bothered tomatoes before would slip in there and get the green ones before they even got any size at all, hardly. And were just raiding their tomato plants this year. So that was one thing that just disappeared off the vines.
Now, this may not be the solution, but tomorrow is the farmer's market. And, of course, you can get some homegrown tomatoes. They were just grown at somebody else's home. 893-1450. We're going to pause and check on the weather. We will be back and take some more calls. 893-1450 is our number. We're having a party up here. 893-1450. Dial quickly. Visiting with us, home economist Pat Whitaker from the Agricultural Extension Service and Lou Nave, the executive director for the Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
For years and years, I've been telling you about Bell Furniture. Perry Bell buys in trailer truckload quantities and passes the savings on to you. First quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture. I know you've heard about Jameson's Marriott mattress. It's half price at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
This afternoon we'll see mostly cloudy skies with showers and storms developing. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms mostly cloudy with our lows in the mid-70s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Right now, it's 72.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. Don't forget, this is the perfect time of year to help those lawns. We have all the grass seed and lawn care that you would need. We also have a new clothing line in. We have some of the Under Armour clothing. It's also the great time of year for you to start thinking about those Christmas gifts, so come visit us at our gift department. And also, don't forget your little feathered and furry friends. We have a great bird and pet department. Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Hey, hi, and hello there.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
Fun lovers and truth seekers.
Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS AM FM online.
Hey, welcome back. Chandrika Waters is our birthday cake winner from Junior's Foodland. Happy birthday, Chandrika Waters. And our good neighbor of the day is Barbara Nelson over on Westwood Drive. Barbara receives flowers from Ryan's as our good neighbor of the day. Our phone number is 893-1450. We only have about 3 minutes left in the program this morning. And visiting with us today, home economist Pat Whitaker from the Agricultural Extension Service and Lou Nave, the executive director for the new Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee. And they are here to watch out and be sure that farm animals are treated humanely. And if you happen to see a case where you think that an animal is not being taken care of properly, what can you do?
Well, the first call is always to law enforcement, and then law enforcement personnel would check out any situation to make sure. And if there is indeed a cause, if they think an animal is being neglected or abused, the agriculture extension personnel would be called in because they have the expert knowledge about animal care. Sometimes if you're not raising animals, you may not understand some of the practices that are going on. And there are times that a bypasser would not understand that these animals don't have access to hay all day or certain situations because they're in a training process or under a doctor's care, under a vet care. So those involved in agriculture extension would know. And if there are indeed charges, there will be charges filed, those animals removed. And that's where FACT steps in to try to help the law enforcement extension personnel to find homes for those animals as they're moved out. We want to take care of animals, livestock. It's very important, you know, that for the small animals we have paws locally. And we encourage people to make donations to their local animal shelters to help with livestock, with the animal abuse. But we also encourage people to be very aware when they're solicited for donations those type of programs, because you need to give locally. There are some organizations that are pushing a different agenda under the guise of animal care, and they're more of animal rights. And so we encourage our people to look before you make those donations.
Now, for people who want to learn more about the organization, how can they do that?
Well, our website is tnfacct.com. We also have a Facebook page, and many of our ag industries are involved. MTSU, the Department of Agriculture, all of our ag commodity groups, and so we would be delighted to share more information with anyone who wants to learn more about the Farm Animal Care Coalition of Tennessee.
Very good. And Pat, we encourage people to learn more about what's happening at the Lane Agri-Park, and that's something happening there all through the year.
That's a greatly used facility over there. Constant classes and things that are available for homeowners and people who are interested in programs for youth. We kind of cover folks from cradle to the grave, Bart.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we've got something for every age and person over there for, at one time or another throughout the year. So check our website for those.
Pat Whitaker and Lou Nave visiting with us today from the Agricultural Extension Service and the FACT team right here in town. You have a super rest of the day. And we'll see you tomorrow. Put it in-